व्यासात्मजेन निखिलात्मदृशा समेन तत्पादमूलमुपसृत्य न तेन मूर्ध्न बद्धाञ्जलिस्तमिदमाह सुवष्णुरातः
Sukhdev Goswami said, Sut Goswami said, after hearing
Sukhdev Goswami will not speak anymore.
After hearing all that was narrated to him by the self-realized and equipoised Sukhdev, the son of Vyasdev, Maharaj Parikshit humbly approached his lotus feet, bowing his head down upon the sage's feet. The king, who had lived his entire life under the protection of Lord Vishnu, folded his hands in supplication and spoke as follows.
Etan nishamya munina abhihitam parikshit. So after narrating all this, so vyasatmajena nikhilatma drisha samena. Vyasatmaja, here is son of Vyasa, Sukadeva Goswami. He asked Parikshit. And here vyasatmaja is described to be nikhilatma drisha samena. He is equal to everyone. Samena, he is perfectly equiposed to everyone. That is, because so far he has, through his description of Bhagavatam, he satisfied the devotees. And now, in the last chapter, he satisfied the jnanis also. He made them also happy by giving jnana conclusions. That's why he is called Sama. Samena. He is equiposed to all. He wanted to make everyone happy. Like that.
Tatpada moolam upasritya natena murdhana, bowing his head upon the lotus feet of the great sage Sukadeva Goswami, Vishnurata is the person who is protected by Vishnu, that is Parikshit Maharaj. So he spoke in supplication. What did he speak?
Rajovacha siddhosmi anugrihitosmi bhavata karunatmana shravito yaccha me sakshat anadi nidhano harihi.
Maharaj Parikshit said, I have now achieved the purpose of my life because a great and merciful soul like you has shown such kindness to me. You have personally spoken to me this narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is without beginning or end.
So I have become successful. Siddha. Siddhosmi. Earlier he said, Aham Brahmasmi, you say. He said, Siddhosmi. I have become perfect by hearing from you. Siddhosmi anugrihitosmi. Anugrihita means, I have accepted your mercy. I have been the recipient of your mercy. So bhavata karunatmana. You are very merciful. Shravito yachame sakshat anadi nidhano harihi. So the person, Hari, who has no nidhana or adi, he has no beginning or end. So you have spoken about him by hearing the descriptions of the Lord from your mouth. I have become perfect. I have achieved the purpose of my life. And he glorifies the compassion of great souls now.
Natyadbhutam aham manye mahatam achyutatmanam Agneshu tapatapteshu bhuteshu yadanugraha.
I do not consider it at all amazing that great souls such as yourself, whose minds are always absorbed in the infallible personality of Godhead, show mercy to the foolish conditioned souls, tormented as we are by the problems of material life.
So we are foolish conditioned souls. Nati adbhutam aham manye. I don't consider it very wonderful. Because naturally great souls like you, mahatam, are achyutatmanam. We are absorbed in achyuta. Agneshu tapatapteshu bhuteshu yat anugraha. You are having anugraha, mercy towards agneshu, ignorant people. Tapatapteshu, absorbed in miseries of material existence. Bhuteshu, all the living entities. You are naturally merciful towards them. For you to spend 7 days of your time, you don't even spend few minutes in front of a house, right, beyond milking time.
So you have spent 7 days in front of me, 7 nights in front of me, speaking like this. I very well appreciate that. Janasya Krishna Mukhasya Devad Adharma Sirasya Sudhikshitasya Anugrahayeha Charanti Nunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardhan. Something similar he says. So people are absorbed in a great amount of distress to get a meager amount of happiness. To stop that, Sukadeva Goswami or Maitreya, this has great souls, speak Bhagavatam to them. The only purpose of their visits to all these great souls is to speak Bhagavatam to them. The only purpose of their travelings is to deliver such poor people. Right? Mahadvicharanam Runam, Brihinam Dina Chetasam. So that is spoken by Nanda Maharaj. Right? Next. Now, Sukadeva Goswami might question, what did you understand? You said you have heard a lot. What did you understand from this scripture? He says, Purana Samhita Metam Ashraushma Bhavato Vayam Yasyam Khalutamasloko Bhagavana Duvaranyate.
I have heard from you this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the perfect summary of all the Puranas and which perfectly describes the Supreme Lord Uttama Shloka.
Mm. So what I have heard from you is this Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran. It's a perfect summary of all Puranas. Purana Samhitam Etam. So this is the root for next question. Savanakadi Rishis. Now the questions of Parikshit Maharaj ended. No more questions. So, see, hearing this word, and again one more word comes, Samhitam. So they will ask their next question. Purana Samhitam Etam Ashraushma Bhavato Vayam. So I have heard this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the summary of all Puranas. Bhagavam Stakshakadibhyo Mrityubhyo Nabhibhem Yaham Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam Abhayam Darshitam Tvaya Darshitam Tvaya.
My Lord, I now have no fear of Takshaka or any other living being or even of repeated deaths, because I have absorbed myself in that purely spiritual absolute truth which you have revealed and which destroys all fear.
Mm. So Chakravartipad gives a slightly different meaning. Here Parikshit Maharaj is becoming angry. Why you have spoken Jnana to me at the end? Right? And seeing that anger of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami is becoming happy. He got the point. Right? So, I have no fear of Takshaka. He said, Bhagavams Takshakadibhyo Mrityubhyo Nabhibhem Yaham. I have absolutely no fear of Takshaka. I have no fear of repeated material existence. I have no fear of death. But Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam, I am very much fearful of entering this impersonal Brahman. Right? Because you have said about Jnana towards the end, Aham Brahmasmi, all this, that might mean that I have to go to the impersonal Brahman. I am very fearful of that. Why at all you have spoken to me? So Lord who knows everything, Bhagavan, knowing that my heart was fixed in bhakti, why did you teach me Jnana? Right? You know the Lord and you know my heart. I am fixed in bhakti. Why you have to teach me Jnana? This impersonal Brahman is intolerable for devotees like me who have renounced everything and given all to the Lord and whose real desires were revealed by the great devotee Shiva in this statement. What is the statement? Narayana para sarve nagudasthana vibhyati sargapa varga narikeshu adupilyartha darshanaha. He says devotee can go everywhere but not into impersonal Brahman. He can go to Sarga Naraka, but he didn't say impersonal Brahman. Right? I have made my vow at the point of this death. What did he say in the first chapter, first canto, 19th chapter? Punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante ratih prasangasya tadashrayeshu mahatsu yamyam abhayami srishtam maitriyastu sarvatra namod vijayabhyaha. If at all I have to take birth again, I need three things. Punascha bhuyad bhagavati anante bhagavatyanante ratihi. I want full dedication to Lord's devotional service, to Bhagavan. Bhagavatyanantasya Rati prasangasya tadashrayeshu. And I want association of his devotees. And mahatsuyamyam abhayami srishtam maitriyastu sarvatra namodvijayabhyaha. I want friendly dealings, relationships with all the living entities. Right? I want bhakti, I want association of devotees, and I want friendly relations with all living entities. These are my things. I never ask for a liberation or stopping of this transmigration process. So I have no fear of all these things. Takshaka, death, repeated birth and death, all this. But I have fear of entering impersonal Brahman. But now you teach me about Brahman, there is a hint of anger in his words. As I said, by that Sukadeva Goswami was very happy to see the firmness of Parikshit Maharaj's bhakti. So similarly, at the beginning of Rasa dance, the gopis have disobeyed the orders of their elders. You see, Krishna told, why did you come here in the middle of the night? You should go back. He started giving some moral instructions before Rasa Leela. Then gopis became angry. You called us. We just left everything. Vati sutan nevayat, bhratrubandhavat, ativilangate, achyutagata, gati virastavo, udgita mohitaha. So, kitava yoshitaha, kastya jen nishi. Why are you asking us to leave you? In the middle of the night, why will we go back? So, Krishna was happy to hear that. Right? Apparently, unsubmissive response of the devotees was actually a cause of great pleasure for the Lord. Similarly, apparent anger of Parikshit Maharaj was a cause of great happiness for Sukadeva Goswami. That's how their final moments of their meeting ended, by exhibiting anger. Right? So, you are tired or what? Next. Since he was situated in the spiritual world, the attack of Takshaka was a useless action. That will be explained in the next three verses.
Impersonal Brahman, which destroys fear, about which you have just taught me.
He says, impersonal Brahman which destroys fear. Yeah, impersonal Brahman destroys fear for jnanis, not for bhaktas. It induces fear in bhaktas. Right? Probably that. So you have anything more to
just explain what Chakravarti Thakur says. Same thing he'll explain. Actually, he says that Bhagavan's Takshakadibhyo, Mrityibhyo, Na Bhimemyaham. So that line Chakravarti Thakur explains that, not only he says Takshaka, but also Adibhya, he says. Which means there are many causes of fear-inducing things in the material world. People may not only fear being bitten by a snake, people may fear old age, people may fear disease. There are many things people may fear in this world. But he says that actually, which means by saying Adibhyo, he is giving a list of many items. And then he is saying, in the second line, Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam Abhayam Darshitam Tvaya. Chakravarti Thakur, towards the end, he says if somebody takes the meaning that I have entered the Brahman which destroys all fear, if that is not accepted by devotees, since Bhagavatam presents two meanings to persons of different qualifications like Mohini, he says. So why he says this? Because in Sanskrit, sometimes one single verse can have two meanings. Like Lord Krishna tells in Uddhava Gita also that Parokshavadam is very dear to his heart. And especially when it comes to Guhya, Guhyatara, Guhyatama, Jnana. Lord doesn't say. For example, even our Gaur Govind Maharaj says that in Bhagavad Gita, Vrajaprem in Gita, like that he says. There are many, many stokas he has taken from Bhagavad Gita where he says, he talks about Vrajaprem. For example, Mahatmanastu Maam Partha, Daivim Prakriti Mahita. So that he says, that is Radharani. Daivim. Although Radha's name is not directly mentioned, it's Radharani. Similarly, he says, Sarvadharman Paritya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. literal Sanskrit meaning of the word vraja means do. That's all. Do. Do it. That's all. But he says, in Sanskrit for saying the word do, there are hundreds of words can be used. Why he chose the word vraja? Because Krishna, amongst all the devotees who surrender to the Lord, the vrajavasis are the, that surrender is most pleasing to Lord. So he used the word vraja. So in the same manner, after speaking so many pastimes and glories and spiritual world and muktim dadati karichisma nabhakti yogam, you know, things like that, Lord says. There is one more verse also. Naikatmatamme spuhyanti kechin matpada seva abhirata madiha. He says, no? Yenyonyato bhagavata prasajya sabajayante mama paurushani. This is by Lord Kapila. He says, na ekatmatamme spuhyanti kechin. My devotees never like to merge in me. Na ekatmata me spuhyanti kechin. Never they desire to merge in me and become one with me, he says. So, we could quote hundreds of such verses from the Bhagavatam. After saying all these things, at the end, if somebody concludes that, you know, Parishit says, now I am pravishtosmi, now I entered into Brahman and I am peaceful now. That would be completely contradicting all that was spoken earlier. Like that, Chakravarti Thakur says. And then he says that here in this para, he explains here, that knowing that my heart is fixed in bhakti, why did you teach me jnana? I do not fear takshaka and other deaths in other births. That means I can take millions of births, he is saying, Parikshit. But entering into impersonal Brahman, which destroys fear that you have just taught me, that I fear. And further he is giving example. This is similar to making statements such as, I am not afraid of misfortunes while situated in household life, but entering the forest, that I fear. This phrase is understood and not spoken, he says. For example, somebody says, I don't fear many misfortune in household life, but forest. If he says, what is the meaning of that? That means forest life causes me great fear and I want to be in household life. In the same manner, he says, takshaka, adibhyo, all these things I do not fear. And then the word Brahman comes. That means that I fear. Like that he says. So that is a, and therefore I will not enter the forest, which means I have much greater fear of the impersonal Brahman that you have explained to me than many, many deaths by takshaka. That means repeatedly 100 lifetimes I take and takshaka is biting me every time. That doesn't cause me fear, he says. This impersonal liberation is intolerable for devotees like me who have renounced everything and given all to the Lord and whose real desires were revealed by the great devotee Shiva in that statement, Narayana Parasarve. You know? And then he says that I have made my vow at the point of death, Punashcha Bhuyat Bhagavati Anante. I wanted to develop Rati for the Lord. Rati Prasangascha Tadashyesha. And then he translates that. So we can imagine how the acharyas have such a X-ray vision in understanding the verses, the intent of the verses. So any impersonalist even when the gopis are all thinking of Krishna, there is one shloka in the 10th canto which says, the absorption of gopis, remembrance in Krishna became so deep, gradually everything vanished for them. The forest around vanished, the trees vanished, animals vanished, everything vanished. Including not only the relative friends, their own bodies also vanished. And all that they were seeing was only Krishna. So other than Krishna, they lost all other consciousness. They forgot their own body, mind, words. And they forgot themselves also completely. They became so absorbed. So the two things are written there in that section if you read. So one thing that says is that only when a devotee attains this type of yakagrita chitta in Krishna, you know, that time only one attains the opportunity to become associate of Krishna. And another meaning that Prabhupada says here in this place is the Mayavadis take this particular shloka and they say that the gopis became one with Krishna, they say. But the gopis only became one in consciousness with Krishna. They never became one with Krishna. So if the gopis became one with Krishna, then the statement of the Vedanta will be disproved. Raso vai saha rasam hi evayam lavdva anandi bhavati. That will be because Lord is a lot of rasa. At the end, everything merges, then there is no more exchange. You know, it will nullify that Vedantic statement. Like that Prabhupada explains that. Similarly, here also, the previous chapter, 13 verses, talks a lot of jnana in order to please the jnani people. And then here the you know, the servant also is answering similar to the master. The master is speaking jnana and servant is also giving a jnana type answer. So in Chaitanya Bhagavat you will find there are a lot of mystical things like this. And the most amazing thing with Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat also, both of them also, is the different levels of realization. You can explain one pastime in 4 or 5 levels also. I have heard from different devotees, advanced devotees, who when they speak, sometimes they reveal the lessons from the Leela. And you will be amazed, according to the person's attitude and his situation, one explains at this level, one explains at this level. At different levels, then there are deeper and deeper meanings. So the jnanis want to remain foolish and they don't want to surrender to the personality of Godhead. So the shastras give, you know, like he says, you know, Atma Ramaya Shantaya, Kaivalyapatiye Namaha. So Lord also, ultimately Lord only is Kaivalyapati for them also. If Lord Krishna says that, you know, you rascal jnanis, you never surrender to me, I reject you. And Lord goes away only with bhaktas. That way all those poor souls will be ditched, all the jnani souls. So Lord says, Kaivalyapatiye Namaha, I will be a Kaivalyapati for you. But I will not reveal myself to you. I will reveal what to you? Only the effulgence. And I will give you a resting place in my effulgence. And that's what you aspired for and you'll be happy with that. But I sell out myself to my devotees. Namo Akinchana Vitaraja. So in this way, not only in Bhagavatam, you will find in the Tamasic, Rajasic, Sattvic Puranas when you read, the faith of the practitioner is protected. In Tamasic Puranas also, their faith in Shiva is protected. In similarly, in Rajasic Puranas also, they have come for a material aspiration. Just like this, Karma Mimamsa philosophy, it's especially given to satisfy the Karmakandi people. So that this is the ultimate. If Veda Vada Ratha Partha Nanya Asti Iti Vadinaha. They are convinced that the ultimate goal is only to go to heaven. Nothing beyond that. Unless they are convinced, which fool you think will go for Karmakanda? You know? But when you acquire a certain adhikar, you get a Vaishnava Guru who can easily show you that Karmakanda is bogus. You know? And even the Karma Mimamsaka philosophy is also bogus. You know? And then you have to get liberation. And then liberation seems to be such an ultimate thing if you read Upanishads and everything, you know. My God, you know, it is beyond name, beyond forms of the material world is all conglomeration. When you want to go there, and then when you come to Bhagavatam, you understand, it rejects the liberation also. You know? In many, several places, Srimad Bhagavatam has very clearly shown that the understanding of impersonal understanding is not the highest, and the bhakti understanding given as highest. So in this way, but you will find that whenever such things are done, the Lord Krishna is not only concerned about bhaktas, he is also concerned about the other practitioners also. Like you know that verse, akama sarva kama va moksha kama. Why he is saying that? Because somebody who is having a sarva kama should not drop the Bhagavatam and run away thinking that yes, aham anagrinami. That comes much later actually. You know, after giving everything that comes toward the end of 10th canto, it comes. Imagine if you tell yes, aham anagrinami in the beginning, none of the materialists will want to read Bhagavatam further. Which means the Lord also allows people to read, understand, and if they don't put faith in the Lord, the verses withdraw themselves. They don't reveal. And one who puts faith in the Lord opens up. In fact, even while reading these verses, even those who are not very sincere and serious Vaishnavas, they can develop suspicion by reading this type of verses. You know? Like for example, Bhishma Pitamah is sending arrows on Krishna's body, you know, and it is piercing and the blood drops comes. Even some students left chanting and they went back. And they said, sir, you said that Krishna's body is divine. And now that blood is coming from Krishna's body, that means he also has a body like you and me. Yeah. But actually, Lord's Leela Shakti can produce such kind of tears in Krishna's eyes when Yashoda is chasing after him. You know, and in this way, the Lord's body can emanate blood drops for the pleasure of Bhishma Pitamah. Similarly, Parikshit, when he asked the question about why is Lord dancing with the gopis, that time also Sukadeva Goswami said, to reciprocate with his devotees, Krishna doesn't worry about worldly morality. Lord does that. But it is still a mystical thing which cannot be understood by non-devotees when one reads the rasa dance. So, which means the Lord has given the scriptures through pure devotees in such a manner that they will only reveal depending on the faith of the practitioner. Like Vishwanathakur Thakur, such an acharya, such a deep faith, seeing this verse, what an amazing meaning is being revealed, you know, which is not easily accessible for anyone. This Prabhu, what is his name? This Krishna Abhishek Prabhu was telling one story when he came here. You know, he was telling all the yogis were used to live in one place which was surrounded by a lot of water, you know. And the yogis used to walk on water and go to that place, you know. And all the people used to watch that amazement, with great amazement and all. They were amazed. And then later on, when one of them joined the group, then they developed faith in him. Those who have faith in them only, they will take with them. And then he understood inside the water there were stones put up, you know. And then they would go to the particular location. In the same manner, our acharyas have given access to deep esoteric meanings, which otherwise we will not be able to decode on our own. Because that is like an island. We will not be able to reach there. We don't know how to swim also. Acharyas have put the stepping stone for us to hear from them and the rishabhs.
Well, I feel like continuing to hear from you and six. Anujani himam brahman vacham yacham yadhokshate muktakamashayam chetaha praveshya visrujam yanu ashun.
Oh Brahmana, please give me permission to resign my speech and the function of all my senses unto Lord Adhakshaja. Allow me to observe my mind purified of lust desires within him and to thus give up my life.
So he is seeking permission from Sukadeva Goswami. So Ajnanam cha nirastam me Jnana vijnana nishtaya Bhavata darshitam kshemam Param bhagavata padam.
You have revealed to me that which is most auspicious, the supreme personal feature of the Lord. I am now fixed in knowledge and self-realization, and my ignorance has been eradicated.
So that's how Parikshit Maharaj concluded, and he was ready to depart from this world. Now you see the detachment of Sukadeva Goswami. He came, did his service of speaking Bhagavatam, he's leaving. He's not waiting. So thus requested, the saintly son of Srila Vyasadeva gave his permission to King Parikshit. Then after being worshipped by the king and all the sages present, Sukadeva Goswami departed from that place. Then Parikshit Maharaj sat down on the bank of the Ganges upon a seat made of darbha grass with its tips of its stalks facing east, and turned himself towards the north.
Param Bhagavata Padam, it is said. Here he says, so in the same manner, there are at least 3-4 Upanishads I have come across where I have seen that it talks about the Brahman realization, everything. And the last concluding part, it says Vishnum Paramam Padam, like that they end. Like here also, like, you know, in the previous verse he says Pravishto Mi, Pravishto Brahma Nirvana Abhayam Darshitam, he says. And then in the next verse uses the word Adokshaje, which is also coming in that verse Ahetuki Apratikata, that verse it comes also. What is that verse? Savayapam Samparo Dharma Yato Bhakti Adokshaje. So he is talking about Adokshaje Lord here, and then subsequently he talks about Paramam Bhagavata Param. And when he is concluding Prakshita.
So, 9th and 10th translations. Parikshit Maharaj then sat on the bank of the Ganges. Then, having attained the perfection of yoga, he experienced full self-realization and was free of material attachment and doubt. The saintly king settled his mind within his spiritual self by pure intelligence and proceeded to meditate upon Supreme Absolute Truth. His life air ceased to move and he became as stationary as tree. Even before Takshaka came, he went into Samadhi. So, Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami is continuing. Oh, learned Brahmanas, the snake bird Takshaka, who had been sent by angry son of a Brahmana, Sringi, was going towards the king to kill him when he saw Kashyapa on the path. So, Kashyap Muni was intending to protect Parikshit Maharaj. Even if he burns, even if he bites, Takshaka comes and bites Parikshit Maharaj, I would revive him. That was the intention of Kashyapa. But Takshaka flattered Kashyapa by presenting him some valuable offerings and thereby stopped the sage. No, Kashyapa was not in the assembly. He was coming towards the assembly. He was aware of this, that Takshaka is coming and biting him. So, who was expert in contracting poison? Actually, Kashyapa was expert in contracting the poison. Then the snake bird, who could assume any form he wished, disguised himself as Brahmana, approached the king and beat him. So, Takshaka was coming towards Parikshit Maharaj. On the way, he met Kashyapa, right? And Kashyapa had the ability to counteract poison. So once Takshaka bit a tree, it was burned to ashes. Biting means along with poison comes fire. That is the nature of Takshaka. And it will be burned to ashes. But Kashyapa, by his great mystic power or whatever, he transformed that ash also into a tree. Right? He gave it another life. So, but according to the arrangement of destiny, although Kashyapa had the ability to revive the life of a dead entity, and although he has intention to revive the life of Parikshit Maharaj because of the strong destiny, so Kashyapa was diverted by the allurement of Takshaka. Takshaka did spoke some words or whatever, the details are not mentioned how he diverted, but Kashyapa was diverted. So they had such kind of mystic power to revive a dead person also. For example, sometimes we have our computer experts, although your pen drive is formatted, they will somehow retrieve the data, right? You delete it from recycle bin also, they will somehow retrieve the data. So we can understand that, we should understand this also. We may not know the process, but we can keep faith. Kashyapa had the ability to do it. And he just bit him. So by living beings, and he disguised himself as a Brahmana. So Takshaka had the ability to transform his forms. From snake, he will become a Brahman. He will go into the assembly, then he will become a snake and bite him like this. So while living beings all over the universe looked on, the body of the great self-realized saint among kings was immediately burnt to ashes by the fire of snake's poison. So, next, there arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions on the earth and in the heavens. And all the demigods, demons, human beings and other creatures were astonished. Kettle drums sounded in the regions of the demigods. In the celestial Gandharvas and Apsaras sang, the demigods showered flowers and spoke words of praise. So although they were disturbed that a great devotee was departing, still he was after all going back to Godhead. It was a cause of celebration. So all of them celebrated. So, we will take a short break now. So, that's how Parikshit Maharaj passed away. Now, the reaction of his son, Janamejaya, we will see after a short break.
Yes. Once a long break, me and his Rabindra Chaitanya were discussing this poem, that Parikshit Maharaj is passing away. You can see throughout whole Bhagavatam discussion comes, and ultimately the superior position of bhakti is established and Nam Sankirtan is established. Bhagavatam also speaks like recent last chapter he spoke. But here Parikshit Maharaj, when he is leaving the body, he is like meditating in samadhi. So how he means, that's the example, because to understand is there anything mentioned about that, because already Kali Yuga is starting that time when Parikshit Maharaj left the body, and he also described Nam Sankirtan, importance of Nam Sankirtan in Kali Yuga. So just Prabhuji also asked me, why not he just did Nam Sankirtan?
Why did he do Kirtan and pass away? Why he has to meditate on the...
Because that somebody else means, people may again misunderstand that again. After hearing all these things, Nam Sankirtan, he again took shelter of means yoga process or meditation, samadhi.
It's not that he took shelter of yoga process. It's not like Ashtanga yoga process is taking shelter of. He absorbed his body, mind and words, all his senses he retracted and then focused only on the Lord. Even while doing Nam Sankirtan also, it's not just mere movement of hands, kartals and mridanga and then just vibrating our tongue, focusing on the tune. right? Where how many people are observing me, right? Not many people are there, I will not do kirtan today. So it's not that thing. It's not the external activity of senses. It's absorption in Krishna's holy name. He is already doing it. This is what comes to my mind. Probably you can take
love. You are perfectly right, actually. Because the Shravanam and Kirtanam should lead to
Smaranam.
And in Smaranam also there are various stages. There is Shravana Dasha, there is Varana Dasha, there is Sampati Dasha, there is Smarana Vasta, that is even more. So from there is also talk about Smriti and Anusmriti, which are all in the stage of Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. When Krishna is going to forest, Prabhupada calls it as Leela Samadhi, he calls it. So the word Samadhi is not only used for the Ashtanga Yogis. Even for the Bhakta Yogis also, the word Samadhi is used. And I also heard Prabhu, that when Srinivas Acharya and all these people, they had a Sadhana Deha and Siddha Deha. So in the Sadhana Deha, they would chant loudly, and then they would chant softly, and they would stop chanting and chant in the mind only. And by at that time of chanting in the mind, even Haridas Thakur chanted 3 lakh names. So 1 lakh he chanted loud, and 1 lakh softly, and 1 lakh in the mind. That is mentioned also. So when they chant in the mind, that is the time they have a transit from the Sadhana Deha to Siddha Deha. Because Shastra say that the silent chanting is the most powerful. But we should not try that, because in Kali Yuga we will go to sleep. That's why we don't try. But if in case we are very good chanters, we never sleep at all, we are beyond the rajas, tamas and all, we can try silent chanting. It's very, very powerful. So in that silent chanting, the result is the different stages of, Shravana Dasha, Varana Dasha, all that happens. And then they go to the ultimate stage of Samadhi there also. So Bhakta also goes in Leela Samadhi, where the Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes, activities are all revealed in front of him. And then he is continuously in Samadhi, where the holy name goes to background and the Leelas come in the forefront, in the, like the spiritual world we say. In the material world, we put the holy name in the forefront because we cannot access the Leela. So the holy name is in the front and other things are put in the background. So when you go from this stage, that stage actually, Smaranam is actually the result of the chanting also.
So we will start from 16th verse. Janamejayasva pitaram Shritva takshaka bhakshitam Yathajuhava sankruddho Nagan satre sahadvijaihi.
Hearing that his father had been fatally beaten by the snake bird, Maharaj Janmejaya became extremely angry and had Brahmanas perform a mighty sacrifice in which he offered all the snakes in the world into the sacrificial fire.
Because one snake bit his father, he wanted to kill all the snakes. Because when Yaksha killed his brother, Dhruva wanted to destroy all the Yakshas. So sometimes a devotee also may become momentarily angry and then go to extremes sometimes. But when another devotee comes and advises him, he would immediately come back to his normal consciousness. Please.
don't hear about it. Because his father is going to leave the body in 7 days. He was not there in the last period. He was the ruling king, is it?
He was ruling in the absence of, after the retirement of Parikshit Maharaj. Whether he was present in that 7 days, I'm not sure.
Because here it says Shrutva, it says, that means he heard from others. He was not personally present to see that act. And if he's a friend of Takshak, he's a friend of Shrinki.
Actually, I heard that when this Takshaka kidnapped all the cows meant for some puja in Indraprastha, right? At that time, Takshaka took a vow that he will kill the descendant of Arjuna. Arjuna and Takshaka had some conflict. Takshaka also, Khandavaprastha. Khandavaprastha, correct, exactly. That's why, Karna also releases Takshaka.
Burning of that Agni. Actually, Indra was a friend, so he was showering rain. So that time, Takshaka's wife, Takshaka was out of station that time. So Ashwasena escaped. Ashwasena was the son of Takshaka. So he wanted to take revenge against Arjuna. So he went to, he sat in Karna's quiver and he tried to attack. So he could not kill Arjuna, which means the enmity with Arjuna was already there. Takshaka had it. So in the lineage, coming down, Parikshit was a posthumous child, the last child in the lineage. So it looks like a family vengeance kind of.
When he cursed Brahmana, by the power of the curse of Brahmana, Takshaka was inspired to come after 7 days. Although it is not told to the person you do this, because someone predicted it, he will do it. Someone, some powerful person predicted it. Their friendship was existing earlier also. Snake, name of the snake, not the species. Okay, 17th verse, 17th translation.
Takshaka saw even the most powerful serpents being burned in the blazing fire of that snake sacrifice. He was overwhelmed with fear and approached Lord Indra for shelter. When King Janmajaya did not see Takshaka entering his sacrificial fire, he said to Brahmanas, "Why is not Takshaka, the lowest of all serpents, burning in this fire?" The Brahmanas replied, "O best of the kings, the snake Takshaka has not fallen into the fire because he is being protected by Indra, whom he has approached for shelter. Indra is holding him back from the fire." The intelligent King Janmajaya, hearing this word, replied to the priest, "Then, my dear Brahmanas, why not make Takshaka fall into fire along with his protector Indra?" Hearing this, the priest then chanted this mantra for offering Takshaka together with Indra as an oblation into sacrificial fire. "O Takshak, fall immediately into this fire together with Indra and his entire host of demigods." When Lord Indra, along with his airplane and Takshaka, was suddenly thrown from his position by this insulting word of the Brahmanas, he became very disturbed. Brihaspati, the son of Angira Muni, seeing Indra falling from the sky in his airplane along with Takshak, approached King Janmajaya and spoke to him as follows.
Naishatvaya manushyendra vadham arhati sarparat anena pitam amritam athava ajaratmanah ajaramarah.
O king among men, it is not fitting that this king of snakes meet death at your hand, for he has drunk the nectar of the immortal demigods. Consequently, he is not subject to ordinary symptoms of old age and death.
We are Manushyendra. We are king of Manushyas. He is Devendra. He is king of demigods.
And the other fellow is Nagendra, whatever.
Uh, He is the king of snakes. So you are king of human beings. Don't unnecessarily call king of demigods or snakes to fall into the fire. So it's not befitting to them, befitting to your position. And also, they have taken nectar, they have conquered the symptoms of old age and death. So you should respect that. Right? Sometimes one person may be more powerful to counteract the blessing or benediction or the possession of another person. Right? He need not follow that protocol, he is beyond that protocol. Still, he should respect that protocol and then follow. That is, for example, Parikshit Maharaj had the ability to counteract the curse of Sringi, but he never contracted. Narsingdev need not follow all the rules or conditions kept by Hiranyaksha. He can come like that and then kill Hiranyakashipu. But he respected all the benedictions given by Lord Brahma. Lord respects the autonomy of one person. Right? He respects, he has been given certain autonomy, let me respect it. Let me not break that protocol, although I am beyond that protocol. So it's not very good to break protocols, although one has more power than the person who has made the protocols. So he says, don't do that. Then, jivitam maranam jantor gatisvena eva karmana rajamstatonyo nastyasya pradata sukhadukhayoha.
The life and death of an embodied soul and his destination in the next life are all caused by himself through his own activity. Therefore, O King, no other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness and distress.
Mm. So he spoke something about people in general, ordinary beings. So the actions of a jiva cause his destination, such as svarga or death or whatever. This is normal arrangement for jantoh. Jivitam maranam jantor gati svenaiva karmana. By one's own past deeds, jantoh means ordinary living entities would receive various destinations. Right? But in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, Lord has personally orchestrated this incident. Because of Lord's will only, Parikshit Maharaj garlanded Semikrishi with snake, dead snake. By the will of the Lord only, he was cursed to die in 7 days. By the will of the Lord only, Sukadeva Goswami came. Okay? In the beginning of the 7 days. So Krishna wanted this Bhagavatam to manifest through the medium of Parikshit Maharaj. By the will of the Lord only, Parikshit Maharaj left this world before the beginning of Kali Yuga. Right? So try to see everything from a spiritual point of view. Right? Even if you consider the case of ordinary human beings also, they will receive happiness or distress because of their past actions only. Right? And if you see from other side, the greatness of your father, Krishna is personally orchestrating. So Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj from the heat of Brahmasra when he was in the womb. Now Krishna is allowing Parikshit Maharaj to depart from this world when his time ended, at the end of his 7 days. So both are Lord's will only. Please try to see the hand of Lord. Right? So he trained, he advised over Janamejaya to see the Lord's hand, to see the Lord's arrangement behind all these happenings. Right? So it was Lord Krishna himself who brought the king back to the kingdom of God. Right? Next. Sarpachauragni vidyudbha kshutradvyadhyadhivirnrpa panchatvam ruchyate jantur bhungta arabdha karmatat.
When a conditioned soul is killed by snakes, thieves, fire, lightning, hunger, disease or anything else, he is experiencing the reaction to his own past work.
Mm. So, Takshaka being the cause of your father's death is for namesake only. Takshaka is the cause of his death only in name. He is not the actual cause of the death. So, he explained that to him. So, Parikshit was... King Parikshit obviously was not suffering the reaction of past karma. As a great devotee, he was personally brought back to Godhead by the Lord himself.
Mukita tenagampam susamikshamanam atmakritam vipakam. So one has to understand things that these are the results of my past deeds only. Although in that purport only, Acharya is right. That it is actually not because of past deeds. When advanced devotees is experiencing certain calamities in this world, it's not because of past deeds, it's the Lord's intervention. Right? It's called auspicious prarabdha karma, according to Chakravartipa's purport in Bhartmara's section. So Sukadeva Goswami explains, it's only because of the past deeds of Bharatmaharaj he had to take the body of a deer. But Chakravartipa very elaborately discusses that it is only because of auspicious prarabdha karma. Okay, prarabdha karma is of two types, auspicious and inauspicious. Probably we could see that. After this recitation we will see. Tasmat satram idam rajan samsthiyeta bhichakrishsam sarpa anagaso dagdha janairdishtam hi bhujyate.
Therefore, my dear king, please stop this sacrificial performance which was initiated with the intent of doing harm to others. Many innocent snakes have already been burned to death. Indeed, all persons must suffer the foreseen consequence of their past activity. Unforeseen consequence of their past.
Okay. So, Brihaspati here is admitting that I don't hold you also responsible for the death of all these snakes. Because of your sacrifice, all these snakes were killed. But I don't hold you responsible for it. They were suffering their past karma. Right? Just like Takshaka is an instrument of the deeds of your father, okay, externally, apparently. Similarly, you are an instrument of the karma of all these snakes. Right? You need not take responsibility for this. So, any person, if he does some mistake, a devotee, if he does some mistake, and if he rectifies that mistake immediately, then he should not be unnecessarily held responsible. Apichet sudracharo bhavite imam ananya bhag. So a mistake committed out of some momentary anger or some forgetfulness or because of some previous habit or something like that, occasionally, accidentally committed mistake is not taken into consideration so seriously. Right? But even after Brihaspati's advice also, if Janamejaya continues this sacrifice, that would have been a mistake of Janamejaya. Even after Manu's coming and advising Dhruva Maharaj, if he continues to kill Yakshas, that is considered an offense towards a devotee. And it's like, but he was momentarily got disturbed and he was given good intelligence by another senior devotee and he controlled himself. I did a mistake, I will not do it anymore. So that kind of accidental mistakes are okay. Okay means one should not purposely do it. So now consider coming to the Apshtriya Bharata Karma. We can just see this Bharat Maharaj. We have seen this, but we will see it again. How Lord's hand is there behind this whole thing. So, prarabdha karma is of two types. One is auspicious. It occurs by the will of the Lord to increase the longing for devotion to the Lord. Right? It is accepted favorably by a devotee. It creates more intense bhakti in future. Then it takes place in those who are already possessing rati or bhava. So, this is the case of Bharat Maharaj. So, inauspicious prarabdha karma means it results from previous actions which manifest later as absorption in material life. So, So in Bharat Maharaj's case, we never saw any hankering or absorption in material life, even as a deer or a Jada Bharat, right? So that is Lord's personal arrangement. So in that context, Chakravarti Pad quotes this verse by gopis, that there are three categories of people who reciprocate. A, category A is only of those who are affectionate, right? And category B is, even if other person is inimical or indifferent, still he will reciprocate. Category C is, he will not show affection towards anyone. Right? These are three categories gopis presented. Krishna said, I will take the option D. Right? I don't belong to any of these categories. So, first category you said is selfish people. If you show affection to me, I will reciprocate with you. That is selfishness. Second category is well-wishers, true well-wishers. Even if you don't show affection to me, I will reciprocate with you. That is like parents. Third category is, they don't show affection towards anyone. They are either spiritually satisfied or materially fulfilled. Atmaram. Either Atmaramas or totally indifferent people. So, D is, I want to intensify the loving devotion of the other person, that's why I don't reciprocate. Right? So, I wanted to reciprocate with your loving devotion. So now, Parikshit Maharaj was already a devotee before the curse of Sringi. But after the curse of Sringi, his devotion got intensified so much. Right? He was totally dedicated 24/7. He had only 24/7. That whole full 24/7 he dedicated to hearing about Krishna. Right? So earlier he was doing them political things, all those things. He was doing that also. That is also service. He was doing in proper consciousness, but he was fully dedicated. So Krishna wanted to do that. That was the reason why Krishna puts obstacles in the path of a devotee.
Somebody's fault. But because it is leading him to Lord, it is called auspicious.
Yes, so in Tatyana Kambam Sajamikshaman purport also, similar theme is mentioned. It's not necessarily because of past misdeeds. It is because of Lord's arrangement. There are two kinds of obstacles in bhakti. In the fifth kind of first chapter, sixth verse purport, Chakravarti Pad writes, one is because of offense to devotees, other is because of the will of the Lord. The obstacle presented because of the offense to the devotee can be nullified if the devotee forgives us. Rahugana and Jadabharata episode. Right? But the second is because of Lord's desire. Lord wants to give some lesson to all the other devotees. So it will happen. So that is Bharat Maharaj's episode and Priyavrat Maharaj's episode. Next, 27th, 28th verse. So that's how Janamejaya thing is completed. So we will go to 28th verse. This is then 28th verse. Suta Goswami continued, advising in this manner, Maharaj Janmayaji replied, so be it. Honoring the words of the great sage, he desisted from performing the snake sacrifice and worshipped Brihaspati, the most eloquent of the sages. So, most eloquent of the sages. Here, as we discussed, when a great devotee is coming and giving us advice when we are going off track, and if we respect that advice and then come back on track, that is good. So occasionally one may get diverted because of some momentary distraction, but that is good. That is happening in our Janamejaya's case. But the question is, how can even such great learned people, exalted personalities, also get bewildered? The answer is given in 29th verse. Saisha Vishnor Mahamaya Badhyaya Lakshaya Yaja Mikshanayaya Muhyanti Asyaivatma Bhuta Bhute Shugana Vritti Bhihi.
This is indeed the Supreme Lord Vishnu's illusory energy, which is unstoppable and difficult to perceive. Although the individual spirit souls are part and parcel of the Lord, through the influence of this illusory energy, they are bewildered by their identification with various material bodies.
So sometimes even great learned people also are bewildered because of Lord's Maya. Tathapi muhyanti tava aja mayaya. So, still they get bewildered because of some inattentiveness. So, this is the power of Lord's Maya. Even devotees are bewildered. But when devotees are bewildered by Lord's illusory energy, so Krishna protects them. Krishna saves them through the medium of some people. So Brihaspati or someone. In this case, it is Brihaspati. Right? So, if one quickly rectifies his mistake, he should not be an object of any ridicule or criticism. Right? So one should not unnecessarily criticize Janamejaya in this case. Then, now if all jivas are subject to anger or hatred because of Lord's Maya, then who is an exception? Is there any personality who is never bewildered by Maya? Yes, Supreme Lord. He will never be bewildered by Maya at any time. Right? That is mentioned in the next two verses. Nayatra dambhitya bhaya virajita. Mayatmavade sakridatmavadibhi. Nayadvivado vividhas tadashrayo. Manascha sankalpa vikalpa vrittiyat. Nayatra srijyam srijata bhayoh param. Shreyascha jivas tribhiranvitastvaham. Tadetadutsaditabadhyabadhakam. Nishidhya chormim varameta tanmunihi.
But there exists a supreme reality in which the illusory energy cannot fearlessly dominate. Thinking, I can control this person because he is deceitful. In that highest reality, there are no illusory argumentative philosophies. Rather, there the true student of the spiritual science constantly engage in authorized spiritual investigation. In that supreme reality, there is no manifestation of material mind which function in term of alternative decision and doubts. Created material products, their subtle causes and the goals of enjoyment attained by the utilization do not exist there. Furthermore, in that supreme reality, there is no conditioned spirit covered by false ego and the three modes of nature. That reality excludes everything limited or limiting. One who is wise should therefore stop the waves of material life and enjoy within that supreme truth.
So the Swarupa of Lord Vishnu is mentioned in these two verses. So, and towards the end of this translation we see, one who is wise should therefore stop the waves of material life and enjoy within that supreme truth. Means, Lord will never be overcome by Maya. If one surrenders unto the Lord, he will also never be overcome by Maya. As long as he is in the mood of that surrender, he will not be overcome by Maya. But if he diverts himself from that mood of surrender, he will be overcome by Maya. So Maya fearlessly overpowers a person if he is deceitful. Right? But in front of the Supreme Lord, Maya is very fearful. Right? Maya covers her face. Right? She cannot stand in front of the Lord. She cannot see the Lord face to face. So in front of the Lord, or a pure devotee who has completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord, Maya cannot exert her force fearlessly, as in the case of deceitful people. So the Swarupa of the Lord, Vishnu, who is beyond the attack of Maya, is described in this verse. So if one surrenders unto the Supreme Lord, so he will also be out of the jurisdiction of Maya. No more attacks from Maya. Maya will lose her grip. The illusory energy of the Lord will lose her grip over such a person. Right? So what are those qualities of the Lord? To summarize again this long translation. So illusory energy cannot dominate. He is free from argumentative philosophies. Only authorized spiritual investigation is present. No material mind. Or neither no material products nor their causes. Living entities there are free from false ego. So nothing is limited. So yeah, Chakravartipad rewrites this translation to explain the Swarupa of the Lord. Where Where Lord Vishnu exists, there is no created objects or creators. Where Lord Vishnu exists, there can be no mind subjected to accepting and rejecting. Where Lord Vishnu exists, there can be no doubts of pious actions and no jivas with false ego affected with three gunas. Like that. So, Vishnu himself doesn't have all the malicious things that are presented by Maya. Wherever Vishnu is there, wherever Vishnu's devotional service is being performed, then also that place, that person is also free from all these effects. Right? That is the essence of this verse in purport. That's the other day we were discussing, right, about dham. So dham means abode, right? Consciousness, definitely. So how can Gupta Vrindavan, somebody just makes a replica of dham, and how can someone consider that as dham? Because the consciousness of the devotee is there, that dham is as good as the previous dham, and as long as the devotee is residing in this new place, right, manifested by a devotee, if as long as those people are performing devotional service, this continues to have this potency. When the devotional service is not being performed, the potency is lost. Right? So something similar here. No, he was momentarily overcome. Right? But the will of the Lord is not mentioned there. That is about Parikshit Maharaj and Bharat Maharaj, not Janmajaya. In Janmajaya's case, that kind of thing is not explained. Janmajaya was momentarily overcome by anger because of the death of his father, and he was rectified. That mistake was rectified. Dhruva's killing of Yakshas was not bewilderment by the Lord. His distraction, momentary distraction. Same with Janmajaya, right? So in Dhruva's case and Janmajaya's case, this kind of explanation is not given. However, they are still great souls because they rectified their momentary mistake. Okay. So now, in the 29th verse, Suta Goswami says, how can even learned persons also be bewildered? Because of Maya. The 30 and 31 verses, Suta Goswami says, that Maya cannot exert influence on the Supreme Lord, Supreme Reality, and those who surrender to the Supreme Lord. Right? 32nd verse, he says, what is the process of attaining that Supreme Lord? 32nd verse. Parampadam Vaishnavama Manantitad Yanneti Neti Tyatadus Utsik Srikshava Visrajya Dauratya Mananya Sauhrida Hridopaguhya Vasitam Samahita.
Those who desire to give up all that is not essentially real move systematically by negative discrimination of the extraneous to the supreme position of the Lord Vishnu. Giving up petty materialism, they offer their love exclusively to the absolute truth within their hearts and embrace that highest truth in the fixed meditation.
Mm. So the process of attaining that Supreme Lord is mentioned from 32nd verse. So three limbs are mentioned in this verse. One, neti neti, negative discrimination of extraneous. It all begins with eliminating unwanted things, eliminating unfavorable things, neti neti. Second, giving up petty materialism, right? Visrijya dauratnyam, remove the dauratnya, that is second. Third, offer their love exclusively to the absolute truth. Hrudopa guhya vasitam samahitaihi. Right? So, ananya. Ananya sauhrudaha. Ananya sauhrudaha is the third quality. Offering their love exclusively. So, three things. Neti neti, visrujya dauratnyam, ananya sauhrudaha. These three things involve the process of attaining the Supreme Lord. Right? So, that is very nicely explained here. If we stop at the first quality only, neti neti business, right? Neti neti without Krishna consciousness will only lead to bewilderment. Okay, this is not good, this is not good, this is not good. Okay, I'll get detached from this. Detachment, 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 right? Elimination, 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 that will lead to impersonalism, right? So along with rejecting what is not essential, one has to accept what is most essential. So just rejection is not sufficient, acceptance is also needed. So that is the explanation for these things. So neti neti, he didn't stop neti neti. Neti neti visrujya dauratyam is there. Along with that, ananya sauhrada hridope guhya vasitam samahitaihi. So one has to, with ananya sauhrada, with complete exclusive love for the Lord, one has to perform devotional service. Such exclusive love is not narrow-minded or sectarian. Because all living entities being with the Lord are automatically served when one directly serves the Supreme Entity. When you say ananya sauhrudam, it's not that you are narrowing your thing. Right? I will narrow ananya, 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 ananya. Just only one point of focus. Only Krishna, nothing else. Actually, when you say only Krishna, everything else is included there. It is watering the root. It's not, when you are eliminating other things unfavorable for Krishna, it's not that you are becoming narrow-minded. You are becoming more and more broad-minded. Right? By diverting our attention from that leaf, that branch, that twig, that flower, that seed, that fruit, to root. Come to the root and water the root. Then the plant will grow. If you focus on all the other limbs of the plant and not the root, then it is ananya sauhrudam. Right? So watering the root, feeding the stomach, these are certain examples in relation to this. 32nd verse. Chakravarti Pad says, the devotees concentrate by continual remembrance of the Swarupa of Vishnu. They give up evil tendency to think in terms of I and mine. This is not favorable, that is not favorable. So that whatever is favorable for devotional service, they accept. Not on a, they don't discriminate on a material platform. 33rd verse. Etadadhigacchanti Vishnoryat paramam padam ahammameti daurjanyam nayesham deha gehajam.
Such devotees come to understand the supreme transcendental situation of the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, because they are no longer polluted by the concepts of I and my, which are based on body and home.
Again, they are no longer polluted by conceptions of I and mine. This is another quality. 4. Last verse gives 3. This is 4th one. So, no longer polluted by I and mine, which are based on body and name. Now, ananda sauhurdam and rejecting unfavorable things, they are all mentioned there. However, if one, by following these 4 things, one will come closer to the Swarupa of the Lord. Right, which is described in 30 and 31 verses, right? Attaining the Supreme, process of attaining the Supreme Lord. But if one commits offense, that Swarupa will disappear. So, the method of avoiding offense is explained in 34th verse. Getting the flow right? 34 is avoiding offenses. It's also included in process of attaining the Supreme Lord only. 32, 33, 34, all are included in process of attaining Supreme Lord. 34 is specifically the method of avoiding offense. 34. Ativadam stitiksheta navamanyeta kanchanam nachemam deham ashrityam vairam kurvita kenachit.
One should tolerate all insults and never fail to show proper respect to any person. Avoiding identification with the material body, one should not create enmity with anyone.
So, ativadam stitiksheta. Ativada means insulting words. Right? Stitiksheta, one has to tolerate insulting words. Avanti Brahman is a perfect example. One should not reply to the insulting words with equally harsh words. Right? He gave gali, I will also give gali, equally. Or more. So that is not the that is not the way of avoiding offense. Ativadam stitiksheta, one has to tolerate. Then navamanyeta kanchana, one should never disrespect others. Na chemam deham ashritya means one should not be in bodily concept of life. Deham ashritya. Next, vairam kurvita kena chet. No envy, no enmity with anyone. So these are the 4 points mentioned here. So 32 and 33 together mention 4 points, plus these 4, total 8 points. Right? So by following these 8 things mentioned in 32, 2 to 34 verses, one will attain the Swarup of the Lord, which is mentioned in 30 and 31 verses. Right? Next, 35th verse. Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Krishnaya Kunthamedhase Yatpadam Buruhadhyanat Samhitam Adhyagam Imam.
I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna. Simply by meditating upon his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature.
So he concluded that point there, and finally he is offering obeisances. One more point about the tolerance in the 34th verse. By tolerating the sharp words of others, one will be able to cut down one's false ego. Why would be there a tendency to reply back when someone is insulting us? Because there is an identification with something. There is a desire for respect. That person should respect me. Why is he insulting me? So when there is absolutely no false ego, one becomes indifferent to that kind of insulting words. So by tolerating insulting words of others, one will be able to cut down one's false ego and retain the mercy of the Lord. So finally, Suta Goswami is offering obeisances. Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Krishna Aikunta Medhasi. So, and one more point he said. Yat Padam Buruhad Dhyanat Samhita Madhyagam Imam. So simply by meditating upon his lotus feet, Yat Padam Buruhad Dhyanat Samhitam Adhyagam Imam. I am able to study and appreciate this great literature, this Samhita. They call this word Samhita. Then he started. Saunaka Rishi asked this question. Sri Saunaka Uvacha Pailadi Bhirvyasa Sishyair Vedacharyair Mahatmabhi Vedascha Kathita Vyasta Etat Saumya Abhidehinaha.
Saunaka Rishi said, O gentle Sutta, please narrate to us how Paila and other greatly intelligent disciples of Srila Vyasadeva, who are known as the standard authorities of Vedic wisdom, spoke and edited the Vedas.
So he heard the word Samhita, and now you can start it. Now these Saunaka Rishi and all, they are asking, please speak how Vyasadeva and his disciples, they divided the Vedas. And who are the standard authorities of Vedic wisdom? Right? How did they edit the Vedas? So he is asking that question. So the rest of the chapter is the division of Vedas. In this one slide, the entire summary of the rest of the chapter plus the beginning of the next chapter is given. So you can see the slide as you are reading the translations. But there is little prelude to it. We will read the first few verses and then read the translations. Suta Uvacha Brahmanah Parameshtinah Samahitatmano Brahman Brahmanah Parameshtinah Hridyakashat Abhunnado Vrittirohad Vibhavyate.
Suta Goswami said, O Brahmana, first the subtle vibration of transcendental sound appeared from the sky of the heart of the most elevated Lord Brahma, whose mind was perfectly fixed in spiritual realization. One can perceive this subtle vibration when one stops all external hearing.
So when Saunaka Rishi questioned, please narrate how this greatly intelligent disciples of Vyasadeva spoke and edited the Vedas, Suta Goswami is saying, in order to correctly define the fruit of the tree of the Vedas, he first discusses the branches of the Vedas. Even before that, how these Vedas manifested, they all had their root in Om, which is generated from the ether in the heart of Brahma. Within the heart, there is some ether, there is some sky. Within that, the sound, Om, would generate. That is the root of entire Vedic wisdom. Right? that is nada. First, the sound. What, sound is called nada here. In the third line, it's said, Hridi akashad abhun nado vritti rohad vibhavyati. So the transcendental subtle sound. So the subtle form of the transcendental sound is nada. Next, by worship of the subtle form of the Vedas, O Brahmana, mystic sages cleanse their hearts of all contamination caused by impurity of substance. This is adibhuta. Activity, adhyatma, doer, adhideva. I am reading the 38th verse. Dravya kriya karaka. 37th verse, he spoke about the nada. Right? The subtle sound which is present in the ether of the heart of Brahma. Right? 38th verse, he is speaking that this subtle form of the Vedas, by this subtle form of the Vedas, the heart is cleansed. The hearts of great sages is also cleansed of the impurity of Adhyatma, Adhibhuta and Adhideva. 39th verse. Tato bhutrivrid omkaro yovyakta prabhavasvarat yattalingam bhagavato brahmana paramatmanah.
From that transcendental subtle vibration arose the Omkar composed of three sounds. The Omkar has unseen potencies and manifests automatically within a purified heart. It is representation of absolute truth in all three of his phases, the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Soul and the Supreme Impersonal Truth.
So from that subtle sound, nada, subtle form of the sound, nada, Omkara emanated. That has three syllables, A, U, Ma. Right? And it is representation of absolute truth in all three phases. What are the three phases of absolute truth? Brahman, Bhagavan, Paramatma. Right? So, these three phases of absolute truth are represented as in sound form with Om. So, now the beginning of this Vedic wisdom, that he is saying. Right? It all began with that Om. Next, this Omkara, before proceeding further, he is enumerating the qualities of Omkara. That is the theme going on. This Omkara, ultimately non-material and imperceptible, is heard by the super soul. So, in the ether of the heart, there is Omkara, and that sound is heard by super soul, not the soul. We can't hear it, but super soul can hear it. Without his possessing material ears, any other material senses. Because the soul will hear or whatever, perceive through material senses, material ears, material eyes, etc. But to hear this Omkara, one needs subtle or spiritual senses, which Lord has. So the super soul can hear that sound, the soul cannot hear that sound. Okay? So the entire expanse of Vedic sound is elaborated from Omkara, which appears from the soul within the sky of the heart. It is the direct designation of the self-originating absolute truth, the super soul, and is the direct in the secret essence and eternal seed of all Vedic hymns. Right? That sound, Omkara, is heard by the super soul. Soul cannot hear. For example, if a person is sleeping, and by showing him some movie, or by bringing some Mahaprasad, Rasmalai or Rasgulla near him, he will not get up. One has to make some sound, right? But all his senses are sleeping, right? All his senses are inactive. They are in deep sleep. So who hears that sound? Super soul hears that sound and he wakes up the jiva, right? So your alarm sound every day within your mosquito net is heard by super soul and he is waking you up. Okay. Nandanandan Prabhu's sound is your super soul is hearing and waking up. You are not hearing. Sudama Prabhu says, he is Allah, he is Ram. He doesn't need alarm. He is always active. So super soul is always active. But we need alarm. And that alarm is also, that signal is also coming from super soul only. 42nd verse, more qualities. Read, someone read.
42nd Omkar verse. Exhibited the three original sound of alphabet A, U and M. These three, O most eminent descendant of Bhrigu, sustain all the different threefold aspect of material existence, including the three modes of nature, the names of Rig, Yajur and Samavedas, the goal known as Bhur, Bhuvar and Swa, planetary system, and the three functional platform called waking consciousness, sleep and deep sleep.
Go ahead.
Lord Brahma created all the sound of the alphabet, the vowels, consonants and semi-vowels, sibilants and other, distinguished by such features as long and short measures.
So from that Om only, Brahmaji created all these sounds, vowels, consonants, semi-vowels, etc. You are getting the flow, right? Nada, Omkara, from that all the sounds, consonants. And all these syllables are used to make the Vedic mantras.
Okay, go ahead.
All powerful Brahma made use of this collection of sound to produce from his four phases the four Vedas, which appeared together with the sacred Omkara and the seven Vyarthi invocations. His intention was to propagate the process of Vedic sacrifice according to the different function performed by the priest of each of the four Vedas.
So Brahma, four Vedas emanated from four mouths of Brahma, and all the Vedic mantras are combinations of these syllables. Now we also hear that Vyasadeva divided one Veda into four. They are already emanating from the mouths of Brahma as four Vedas. What did he divide? Any guesses? Sections, okay. Section titles. Flow charts, okay. Yeah, that is, in one sense that may be true, but any other? Huh? Not commentary, he divided the original one Veda into parts, four Vedas. One Veda is divided into four. Okay, answer is, four Vedas are emanating from four mouths of Brahma. They became one, something similar. Actually, all four mouths are simultaneously reciting the Vedic mantras, right? So they all have become like a mine. Okay, mine of so many precious jewels, right? So, like, for example, you take, see our Prabhu makes jewelry, right? So many beads are there. You take all white beads, you take all red beads, blue beads, green beads, and just make them a pile. So that is the four Vedas, when they emanated from Brahmaji's mouth. So now what Vyasadeva did was, he separated all the white beads, right, red beads, green beads, blue beads is separated. They become four Vedas. So all mantras got mixed up. Right? Something like thematic compilation. Separation based on to which Veda they belong to. From which mouth they emanated from. Right? So that which mouth they emanated from, Vyasadeva knows. Right? So he can... go ahead.
Brahma taught this Vedas to his son, who were great sages among the Brahmanas and expert in the art of Vedic recitation. They in turn took the role of Acharyas and imparted the Vedas to their own sons. In this way, throughout the cycle of four ages, generation after generation of the disciple, all firmly fixed in their spiritual vows, have received these Vedas by disciplic succession. At the end of each Dwapar Yuga, the Vedas are edited into separate division by eminent sages.
So why that Vedas are divided? Answer is here, 47th.
Observing that people in general were diminished in their lifespan, strength, intelligence by the influence of time, great sages took inspiration from the personality of Godhead sitting within their heart and systematically divided the Vedas.
So people cannot figure out if they are all mixed up, so he separated them. All the disciples and Vyasadeva, the team, separated them. Next.
O Brahmana, in the present age of Vaivasvat Manu, the leaders of the universe led by Brahma and Shiva requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the protector of all the worlds, to save the principle of religion. O most fortunate Saunaka, the Almighty Lord exhibiting a divine spark of a portion of his plenary portion, then appeared in the womb of Satyavati as the son of Parashar. In this form, named Krishna Dvaipayanu Vyas, he divided one Veda into four.
So, in the Vaivasvata Manvantara, all the demigods went and offered their prayers in front of Lord Vishnu. Please protect the principles of religion. Then the Lord descended as literary incarnation called Vyasadeva in the womb of Satyavati, right, impregnated by Parashurmuni. So that Vyasadeva divided this one chunk, one pile of all Vedic mantras into four parts, right, Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharva. Yes.
Srila Vyasadeva separated the mantras of Rig, Atharva, Yajur and Sam Vedas into four divisions, just as one sorts out a mixed collection of jewels into piles. Thus he composed four distinct Vedic literatures.
Next.
The most powerful and intelligent Vyasadeva called four of his disciples, O Brahmana, and entrusted to each of them one of these four Samhitas.
Please read this, see this chart. This is how the Vedas are, the division of Vedas are entrusted to different people. This table is the rest of the chapter. So, Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasa, he divided one Veda into four, Rig Veda, Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda. And he wrote Puranas also. This will come in the next chapter. So, Rig Veda, he entrusted to Paila Rishi. And Paila Rishi entrusted them to his disciple. Means he taught them, taught to two disciples. So, two branches of Rig Veda happened. So, Indra Pramhiti and Bhaskala. So, Indra Pramhiti taught this to Mandukeya, then Chalakya, so like that. This is how the Rig Veda branches have formed. So different portions of Rig Veda are taught by different disciples of those disciples of the disciples of Vyasadeva. So these are the different people who took charge of different sections of these four Vedas. Please read.
They taught the first Samhita, the Rig Veda, to Paila and gave this collection the name Bhavricha. To the sage
Bhavricha.
Bhavricha. To the sage Vaisampayan, he spoke the collection of Yajur mantras named Nigad. He taught the Samved mantras designated as Chandroga Samhita to Jaimini, and he spoke Atharva Veda to his dear disciple Sumantu. After dividing his Samhita into two parts, the wise Paila spoke it to the Indra Pramiti and Bhaskala. Bhaskala further divided his collection into four parts, O Bhargav, and instructed them to his disciple Bodhya, Yajnavalkya, Parasar, and Ajnimitra. Indra Pramiti, the self-controlled sage, taught his Samhita to the learned mystic Mandukeya, whose disciple Devamitra later passed down the division of Rig Veda to Saubari and others.
This Saubari is whether that Saubari is, we don't know. Next.
The son of Mandukeya named Shakalya divided his own collection into five, entrusting one subdivision each to Vatsya, Mudgala, Saliya, Gokhalya and Shishira. The sage Jatukarnya, who was also a disciple of Shakalya, and after dividing the Samhita he received from Shakalya into three parts, he added a fourth section, a Vedic glossary. He taught one of this part of each of the four disciples, Balak, the second Paila, Jabal and Viraj.
So these are the authorities on Rig Veda, right? The one portion of Rig Veda. And
Bhaskali assembled the Valakhilya Samhita and a collection from all the branch of Rig Vedas. This collection was received by Valayani, Bhajya and Kasara. Thus, these version Samhitas of the Rig Veda were maintained through disciplic succession by the saintly Brahmanas. Simply by hearing of this distribution of Vedic hymns, one will be freed from all sins.
Authorities of Rig Veda. Next.
The disciples of Vaishampayana became authorities in the Atharva Veda. They were known as Charakas, because they executed strict vows to free their guru from his sin of a killing Brahmana. Once, Yajnavalkya, one of the disciples of Vaishampayana, said, O master, how much benefit will be derived from the feeble endeavors of this weak disciple of yours? I will personally perform some outstanding penances.
So here Yajnavalkya is telling his spiritual master, all my god brothers are, you know, very less efficient. You teach me everything, then I will become, you know, the authority of this Veda. Then such kind of pride was not encouraged by Vaisampayana. He said, you get out of my sight. You cannot continue as my disciple. Then he was going, okay, I will go. So this Yajnavalkya was going. Then Vaisampayana called him back, come back. Vomit whatever I have taught you. Right? So he vomited it. Then all the other disciples, the god brothers of Yajnavalkya, they became greedy for that vomit. Means vomit is mantras only. So, but a brahmana cannot eat vomit. They took the form of birds, partridges, and then ate all that vomit. Means took all those mantras, that knowledge. Then Yajnavalkya was feeling bad, and then he went to sun god. He worshipped sun god to get more yajur mantras who are not known to the humanity, who are not even known to Vaisampayana. Sun god knows more yajur mantras. Vaisampayana knows only a section. He wanted to know that. So this Yajnavalkya went to sun god and offered him prayers and learned many yajur mantras from sun god. Sun god instructed more yajur mantras to Yajnavalkya in the form of a horse. That's why they are called Vajaseyini, Vajaseneyi Samhita. So because he instructed them in the form of a horse. So that Vajaseneyi Samhita is taught by Yajnavalkya to his disciples, Kandva, Madhyatama and other people. So that is the branch of this Yajurveda. Read. I summarize the rest of the chapter. You can read.
Addressed thus, the spiritual master Vaisampayana became angry and said, go away from here, enough of you, O disciple who insult Brahmanas. Furthermore, you must immediately give back everything I have taught you. Yajnavalkya, the son of Devarat, then vomited the mantras of the Yajurveda and went away from there. The assembled disciples, looking greedily upon this Yajur hymns, assumed the form of partridges and picked them all up. This division of Yajurvedas therefore became known as the most beautiful Taittiriya Samhita, the hymns collected by partridge, Titiraha. My dear Brahmana Saunak, Yajnavalkya then desired to find out new Yajur mantras unknown to even his spiritual master. With this in mind, he offered attentive worship to the powerful Lord of the Sun. Sri Yajnavalkya said, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing as the Sun. You are present as the controller of four kinds of living entities, beginning from Brahma and extending down to the blade of grass. Just as the sky is present both inside and outside every living being, you exist both within the heart of all as the supersoul and externally in the form of time. Just as the sky cannot be covered by the cloud present within it, you are never covered by any false material designation. By the flow of air, which are made up of the tiny fragments of the time called Kshanas, Lovers and Nimeshas, you alone maintain this world, drying up the water and giving them back as rain. O glowing one, O powerful Lord of the Sun, you are the chief of all demigods. I meditate with careful attention on your fiery globe, because for those who offer prayers to you three times daily according to the Vedic method passed down through authorized disciplic succession, you burn away all sinful activities, all consequent suffering, and even the original seed of desire. You are personally present as the indwelling Lord in the heart of all moving and non-moving beings who depend completely on your shelter. Indeed, you animate their material mind, senses and vital airs to act.
So here Yajnavalkya is offering this prayer to Sun God, seeing Sun God as the representative of Supreme Lord, not as an independent personality. Okay.
The world has been sized and swallowed by the python of darkness in its horrible mouth and has become unconscious, as if dead. But mercifully glancing upon the sleeping people of the world, you raise them up with the gift of sight. Thus you are the most magnanimous. Sacred juncture of each day, you engage pious in the path of ultimate good, inducing them to perform religious duty that situate them in their spiritual position. Just like an earthly king, you travel about everywhere spreading fear among the unholy as the powerful deities of the direction offer you in their folded palms, lotus flowers and other respectful presentations. Therefore, my lord, I am prayerfully approaching your lotus feet, which are honored by the spiritual master of the three worlds, because I hope to receive from you mantras of Yajurveda unknown to anyone else. Suta Goswami said, satisfied by such glorification, the powerful sun god assumed the form of a horse and presented to the sage Yajnavalkya Yajur mantras, previously unknown in human society. From these countless hundreds of mantras of Yajurveda, the powerful sage compiled 15 new branches of Vedic literature. This became known as Yajasheniya Samhita because they were produced from the hairs of the horse mane and they were accepted in disciplic succession by the follower of Kanva, Madhyadina and other rishis. Jaimini Rishi, the authority of Samaveda, had a son named Sumantu and the son of the Sumantu was Sutvan. The sage Jaimini spoke to each of them a different part of Samved Samhita. Sukarma, another disciple of Jaimini, was a great scholar. He divided the mighty tree of Samved into 1,000 Samhitas. Then, O Brahmana, three disciples of Sukarma, Hiranyanabha, the son of the Kushal, Pushnanji, and the Avantya, who were very advanced in spiritual realization, took charge of the Sam mantras. The 500 disciples of Pushyanji and Avantya became known as Northern Singer of Samveda, and in later times some of them also became known as Eastern Singers. Five other disciples of Pushyanji, namely Laugakshi, Mangali, Kulya, Kushida and Kukshi, each received 100 Samhitas. Krita, the disciple of Hiranyanabha, spoke 24 Samhitas to his own disciples and the remaining collections were passed down by the self-realized sage Avantya.
The next, first four verses of next chapter is Atharva Veda Authorities. How to understand? So is there any insights on that? That is not in the purport also it's mentioned, like that kind of pride in the disciple's heart was not appreciated by his spiritual master, but he became another acharya. This happens sometimes. Yeah. Go ahead, Atharva Veda. One more small thing I wanted to just mention here is, first authorities of Rig Veda from 54th to 60th verse is clear, the branch is clear. You see the first branch, this blue branch, blue layer. So this is based on 52nd and 53rd verses. Vyasdev spoke Rig Veda to Paila Rishi, right? That is clear. Then later Atharva Veda to Sumantu. Then to Vaisampayana he spoke Yajur mantras, right? Then Sama mantras he spoke to Jaimini. So these four are mentioned, but then Rig Veda branches are mentioned from 54th to 60th verses. After this, there is one small confusing thing is, the disciples of Vaisampayana, 61st verse, 61, the disciples of Vaisampayana became authorities in Atharva Veda. But Vaisampayana is coming here. Vaisampayana was entrusted with Yajur Veda, not Atharva Veda. So that is one mismatch that is happening. So we can find more. Chakravarti Pal, 61. Chakravarti Pal, what did he write? Yajur Veda. So that is inconsistent. Here it's Atharva is mentioned, but it is supposed to be Yajur. If it is Yajur, then what is mentioned in 52-53 translation is correct. 52-53 translation. That also is mentioned. The details are not given, but some in the translation it's mentioned. Okay.
Goswami said,
Go ahead.
Sumantu Rishi, the authority on Atharva Veda, taught his Samhita to his disciple Kabanda, who in turn spoke it to Patya and Veda Darsha.
Next.
Shaukalyani, Brahmabali, Modasa, Pipalayani were disciples of Veda Darsha. Hear from me also the names of the disciple of Patya. My dear Brahmanas, they are Kumuda, Saunaka, Jajali, all of whom knew the Atharva Veda very well. Babru and Shaindavanya, disciples of Saunaka, studied the two divisions of the spiritual master compilation of Atharva Veda.
You remember Jajali, where does he come? Ramayana and Pracheta Sabhisa, Jajali. After that they met Narayana. 4.31. Same or not, we don't know. But Jajali name remains there. Next.
Saindhavanya disciple Savarna and disciples of other great sages also studied this edition of Atharva Veda. Nakshatra Kalpa, Shanti Kalpa, Kashyapa, Agnidasa and others were also among the acharyas of Atharva Veda. Now, O sage, listen as I name the authorities on Puranic literatures.
So far, authorities of Vedas, four Vedas are mentioned. Now, Puranas.
Right. Trayaruni, Kashyapa, Savarni, Akritavarna, Vaishampayana and Harita are the six masters of Puranas. Each of them studied one of the six anthologies of Puranas from my father Romaharshan, who was a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva. I became disciple of these six authorities and thoroughly learned all their presentation of Puranic wisdom. Romaharshan, a disciple of Veda Vyas, divided the Puranas into four basic compilations. The sage Kashyapa and I, along with Savarni and Akritavarna, a disciple of Ram, learned these four divisions. O Saunak, please hear with attention the characteristics of Puran, which have been defined by the most eminent learned Brahmanas in accordance with Vedic literature.
So, till this point, Suta Goswami was giving the details of the authorities of Vedas and Puranas. Now he will describe what a Purana is. So there are two types of Puranas. One is minor Purana, one is major Purana. So minor Purana has 10 characteristics. Minor has 5 characteristics, major has 10 characteristics. Right? So I have one more. Some of these things I will share in our full overview PPT. We'll have next week full overview on all 12 cantos. So now we will have a preview of this. So these are the 18 major Puranas. Bhagavata, Vishnu, Padma, Narada, Garuda, they are all the Sattvic Puranas. So Bhagavatam is the prime one. Then rest are Rajasic and Tamasic Puranas. So Matsyal, Kurma, they are all coming under Tamasic Puranas. So these are the 18 major Puranas. So Puranas will have different characteristics. This we know. 2.10.1, Sukadeva Goswami, Yatra Sarga Visargasya, Sthanam Poshanam Yavacha. These are the 10 subject matters of Purana, Mahapurana, like Bhagavatam. So what Sukadeva Goswami spoke in 2nd Canto, 10th chapter, and what Suta Goswami spoke in 12th Canto, 7th chapter, are more or less the same. Right? So that we will read. So what we are going to read now is a repetition of what Sukadeva Goswami has already explained in the previous chapters, in the beginning of Bhagavatam. We'll read. Sargosyatha visargascha vrittirakshantaranicha vamso vamshanucharitam samsthahetur apashrayaha Dasabhir Lakshanair Vyuktam Puranam Tadvido Viduhu Kechit Panchavidham Brahman Mahadal Pavyavasthaya.
O Brahmanas, authorities on the matter understand a Purana to contain 10 characteristic topics. The creation of this universe, the subsequent creation of the worlds and beings, the maintenance of all living beings, their sustenance, the rule of various Manus, the dynasties of great kings, the activities of such kings, annihilation, motivation, and the supreme shelter. Other scholars state that the great Puranas deal with these 10 topics, which while lesser Puranas may deal with 5.
Okay. So, Sukadeva Goswami spoke that Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshana Utayaha Manvantara Ishanugatha Nirodha Muktir Ashraya. These are the Sukadeva Goswami's titles. So, Sukadeva Goswami in this verse is saying Sargo Atha Visargaha. So, Sarga Visarga, these two are matching. Then he said Vritti. Vritti is equivalent to Sthanam. Vritti, he translated it as maintenance. Okay? That is Sthanam. For us, it is like the geographical location of different planets and how this universe is maintained with the various planetary systems. Then Sukadeva Goswami calls Raksha. Sutta Goswami says it is Poshana. So both are like sustenance or protection aspect of the Lord. Protection given to the devotees, even if they sometimes do some mistakes, like Ajamil, Indra, etc. Then Hetu. So Hetu topic is equivalent to Uti. Uti is inclination. Right, inclination towards doing positive or negative things, auspicious or inauspicious inclinations. So that comes here as Hetu, the motivation for living entities' involvement. Then Antara means Manvantara, reigns of Manu. Then Vamsha, Vamshanucharita is corresponding to Ishanukatha, activities of Lord and His devotees. Then Samstha. Samstha is Nirodha or Mukti. Nirodha and Mukti combined is Samstha, inhalation and liberation. Then Ashraya is Apashraya, Lord, he said, right? That is the supreme shelter. So these are the 10 topics of the Purana. However, in a lesser Purana, we will have lesser topics. What is that? So, like less number of topics. That is 5. Yeah, these are the 5. Here, Sarga, Pratisarga, Vamsha, Manvantara, Vamsha, Anucharitam. Only 5 topics are there. So within these 5 topics, all 10 topics are covered. Right? Within that Sarga topic, Sarga, Visarga, Ashraya are covered. Means, the elements of other topics are also present in this one topic only. Pratisarga, Nirodha Mukti. Vamsha, Ishanukatha. Manvantara, corresponding to Manvantara and Sthanam. Vamshani Jaritam is corresponding to Ishanukatha, Poshana, Uti, Ashraya. So lesser Puranas have 5 topics, Mahapurana has 10 topics. Right? But only these 5 are discussed in depth. Other 5 are there as sub-elements of this. So these are the secondary Puranas. Now coming to Bhagavatam, according to the Tattva Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, so this PPT is made based on Tattva Sandarbha only. According to Tattva Sandarbha Jiva Goswami, one should not try to assign these 10 topics to 10 cantos. First point is, one should not eliminate first canto and 12th canto second half. One should not eliminate them because Sukadeva Goswami did not speak. Some of these I mentioned in the introduction of Bhagavata Subodhani, first part. So Sarga, Visarga, all these 10 topics appear in all the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. But within one canto, one topic is predominantly explained. Now if you see, where is this? Here. Sarga is explained predominantly in second and third cantos. Visarga is explained in second, third and fourth cantos. Third canto in the middle, if you remember, third canto, fifth chapter, Sarga begins. Right? Second canto has a lot of Sarga. Third canto, fifth chapter, sixth chapter, seventh, eighth, tenth, till tenth, eleventh, there is Sarga. All species, 10 types of creation, then time, like that. 12th chapter is Brahmaji's creation, secondary creation. So from there, Visarga begins. Third canto, 12th chapter, Visarga begins. Then Brahmaji's creation, then Manu, then Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti,
then Swayambhuma, what is that? Uttanapada and Prevrata. So the descendants of these five children of Manu are discussed from third canto middle till fifth canto middle. Means Visarga is there from 3, 4, 5. Visarga is starting in 3 and ending in 5. Then Sthanam is discussed in little bit of 3, then 7th and 11th canto. Yeah, this table is something. Reference Jiva Goswami Sarva Samvadhani. I'll tell based on my understanding, not there's something wrong in this. Cantos primarily discussed in. Okay, Sarga is beginning in 2nd and 3rd canto. Visarga is 3, 4, 5. Then Sthanam is 5. Poshana is 6. And throughout is also making sense. Then Uti is 7th canto. Then Manvantara is 8th canto. And it comes in other places also. Ishanukatha is coming in 9th canto predominantly and 4th canto. And other lineages. Then Nirodha is coming in 11th canto and 12th canto. 12th canto. 12th canto is 4 types of annihilation. Mukti is predominantly in 11th canto. Ashraya is 10th canto. No doubts about it. So some other things I will correct. So now Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami begins to describe each of those topics in detail in this rest of the chapter. This one slide I will just show you in this context. These are the conversations in Bhagavatam. You must have seen, we included in your handbook also. So, Suta Goswami and Savanaka Rishi, they were discussing from first canto, first verse till last canto, last verse. So, this is their conversation. Then they quoted Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. Suta Goswami quoted Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit conversation in the end of first canto till the middle of 12th canto. And Sukadeva Goswami quoted all the other conversations, Vidura Maitreya, Vidhishthira Narada, and all the smaller conversations that appear. These are the sub-conversations. So now we are in the upper loop. We are here. Right? No more conversations are quoted. Of course, in 12th canto, Markandeya, some conversations come. But otherwise, we are here. In between they come. Reminding the reader. So we can go verse. So many details are there in this, so we will stick to what is there in this book for today. So we'll discuss more on the overview section there. Now sarga definition is given in the 11th verse. Avyakrita guna kshobhan Mahatastrivrito hama Bhutasukshmendriyarthanam Sambhavasarga uchyate.
From the agitation of the original moods within the unmanifest material nature, the Mahatattva arises. From the Mahatattva comes the element false ego, which divides into three aspects. This threefold false ego further manifests a subtle form of the perception as the senses and as the gross sense objects. The generation of all this is called creation.
Okay, sarga definition is clear. All the different elements are generated in the primary creation from Mahavishnu's body. So pradhana, it is agitated by lord's glands, by modes, then mahatattva is generated, false ego in three modes, manifests different elements. Then purushanugrihitanam Etesham vasanamaya visargoyam samaharo bijad bijam characharam.
The secondary creation which exists by the mercy of the Lord is the manifest amalgamation of the desire of the living entities. Just as the seed produces additional seeds, activities that promote material desires in the performers produce moving and non-moving life forms.
It is basically the desire of living entity that, you know, that causes him to enter in any form, material form. That based on the desire, so if somebody has a lot of desire to eat meat, he'll have to become a tiger or lion. We hear that, right? If somebody has a you know, some other desires, he'll have to become tree. So based on the desires of the living entity, he will get certain positions in the material existence. So those forms are created as a part of secondary creation by Brahma, that is Visarga. Now third is Vritti. Vrittir bhutani bhutanam charanam acharanicha kritasvenaranam tatra kama chodanaya pivam.
Vritti means the process of sustenance by which the moving beings live upon the non-moving. For a human, vritti specially means acting for one's livelihood in a manner suited to his personal nature. Such action may be carried out either in pursuit of selfish desire or in accordance with the law of God.
That is vritti. Then raksha, protection. Raksha chyuta avatareham vishvasyanu yuge yuge tiryanmartyasi dveshesu hanyateya istrayi dvishaha.
In each age, the infallible Lord appears in this world among the animals, human beings, sages and demigods. By his activities in his incarnation, he protects the universe and kills the enemy of Vedic culture.
Protection aspect. Then Manvantara. Manvantaram Manurdeva Manuputra Sureshwaraha Rashayamsa Avatarascha Hareshad Vidhamuchyate.
In each ring of Manu, six types of personalities appear as manifestation of Lord Hari. The ruling Manu, the chief demigods, the son of Manu, Indra, the great sages, and the partial incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead.
This verse you must have memorized also in the 8th canto. So there are six elements of a Manvantara. So all 14 Manvantaras have these elements. Then sixth is Vamshanu Charitam. Rajanam Brahma Prasutanam Ragnam Brahma Prasutanam Vamshastraikaliko Nvayaha Vamshanu Charitam Tesham Vrittam Vamshadharaschaye.
Dynasties are the lines of kings originating with Lord Brahma and extending continuously through past, present and future. The accounts of such dynasties, especially of their most prominent members, constitute the subject of dynastic history.
Dynastic history, that is Vamsha Anucharitam. Then 17th verse describes Nirodha. Naimittika Prakritiko Nitya Atyantiko Layaha Samsthetika Vibhi Proktaha Chaturdhyasa Swabhavataha.
There are four types of cosmic annihilation: occasional, elemental, continuous and ultimate, all of which are affected by the inherent potency of Supreme Lord. Learned scholars have designated this topic dissolution.
Laya or pralaya or nirodha, that is this only, what you have written in your exams today morning. Heturjivosya sargadir avidya karma karataka yamchanusayinam prahur avyakritam upapare.
Out of ignorance, the living being performs material activities and thereby becomes, in one sense, the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of the universe. Some authorities call the living being the personality underlying the material creation, while others say he is the unmanifest self.
So, Supreme Lord, why he has to do creation, maintenance and destruction? It is only because of conditioned soul's desire. That is the theme of Uti, inclination. Okay, if he has inclination to enjoy this material world, Lord has to recreate it. Okay, bhutva bhutva praliyate. Such activities are performed in response to desires of conditioned souls. That's why they are called hetu or uti. Hetu, cause of cosmic activity, is the conditioned soul's desire. Next, vyatirekanvayo yasya jagrat svapna sushuptishu mayamayeshu tad brahma Jivavritti Svapashrayaha.
The Supreme Absolute Truth is present throughout all the stages of awareness, waking consciousness, sleep and deep sleep, throughout all the phenomena manifested by the illusory energy and within the function of all living entities. And he also exists separate from all this. Thus situated in his own transcendence, he is the ultimate and unique shelter.
This is Ashraya. Ultimate shelter is Krishna. He is the basis of entire material existence. In the previous chapters also we have studied it. And the purpose of discussing all the 9 topics is to bring the reader to the point of shelter. Seeking shelter from Krishna, Ashraya. Dasamashya visudhyartham navanam ehalakshanam. Right? Napnuvanti mahatmanah. What is that last line? To bring the reader to the point of surrender to Krishna. That is the purpose of discussing all the 9 topics. Prabhupada also summarizes these 9 topics again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one purport. Atra Sarga and the next, Dasamasya Vishuddhartham, these 2 verses are quoted in CC, Adilila. We will discuss again. Then, Padartheshu Yatha Dravyam Sanmatram Rupanamasu Bijadi Panchatanteshu Yavasthasu Yathayutam.
Although a material object may assume various forms and names, its essential ingredients is always present as the basis of its existence. Mm. Similarly, both conjointly and separately, the Supreme Absolute Truth is always present within the created material body throughout its phases of existence, beginning with conception and ending with death. Mm.
So, Lord is the beginning and ending of everything. And he is there throughout its sustenance. Right? Other day we were discussing with pot example. Pot cannot exist without clay. Clay cannot exist without earth. Earth cannot exist without Mahatattva. Mahatattva cannot come into being without Pradhan. Pradhan cannot come into being without Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu cannot come without Sankarshan, Mahasankarshan. He cannot come without Narayana. Narayana cannot come without that Chaturviha, Vasudeva. Chaturviha cannot come without Krishna. So ultimately, Krishna is the basis of entire existence. This one pot or glass is connected to Krishna. So one has to identify the connection between Krishna and everything and every object in this world. So, he is the basis. And as long as this glass is existing like this, Krishna is the basis of this. Before this has come into this form, it was merged within Mahavishnu's body. And after this is totally dismantled, again it will merge into Mahavishnu's body. Right? So he is the beginning, ending, and the existence period of everything that we see in this entire creation. That's why he is the supreme shelter. 21st verse.
Virameta yada chittam hitva vrittitrayam svayam yogena vata datmanam vedehaya nivartate.
Either automatically or because of one's regulated spiritual practice, one's mind may stop functioning on the material platform of waking consciousness, sleep and deep sleep. Then one understands the supreme soul and withdraws from material endeavors.
Bhakti, devotional service, dissolves the subtle body of the living entity without any extra endeavor. Just as fire in the stomach digests all we eat. The subtle material body is inclined to exploit nature through sex, greed, false pride, madness. Loving service to the Lord, however, dissolves the stubborn false ego and lifts one to Krishna consciousness. Right? Through the process of initiation, when a devotee surrenders to the instructions of spiritual master, slowly he is destroying his subtle body. Right? Means he is destroying the material desires in the subtle body. He is spiritualizing his intelligence. He is spiritualizing his mind. Right? He is converting his false ego into true ego. And he is becoming servant of Krishna. Then, virameta yadachittam. Then, evam lakshana lakshyani puranani puravida murayoshta desaprahu
Shullakani Mahantica.
Sages expert in ancient histories have declared that the Puranas, according to their various characteristics, can be divided into 18 major Puranas and 18 secondary Puranas.
Brahmam Padmam Vaishnavam cha Shaivam Laingam Sagarudam Naradiyam Naradiyam Bhagavatam Agneyam Skanda Samyutam Bhavishyam Brahma Vaivartam Markandeyam Savamana Varaham Matsyam Kumaram cha Kaurmiyam Kaurmam cha Brahma Brahmandakhyam iti trishat.
Major Puranas are Brahma, Padma, Vishnu, Shiva, Linga, Garuda, Narada, Bhagavat, Agni, Skanda, Bhavishya, Brahma, Vaivarta, Markandeya, Vamana, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma, and Brahmand Puranas.
Then I have thoroughly described to you, O Brahmana, the expansion of the branches of the Vedas by the great sage Vyasadeva, his disciples, and the disciples of his disciples. One who listens to this narration will increase in spiritual strength. Trashimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So tomorrow also we will try to complete 3 chapters. Day after tomorrow also we will complete 3 chapters. Hopefully. Then Friday we will have an overview. All people are devoted to ritualistic ritual performances. Now, one of the Vedas is not very Athar Veda, is not referred in terms of. He asked one question. So he asked. He is saying Treta Yuga, 3 Vedas are referred here. What happened?
In Bhagavad Gita also, when Krishna talks about Vedas, he only says 3 only. He doesn't include the Atharva Veda. I asked this question. I heard that many senior people who know about it, they said that Atharva Veda contains many things which are non-transcendental, mundane, like Ayurveda. And that kind of Vastu Shastra, those things are all coming from Atharva Veda only. For that reason, it is not kept in par with Rig and Rig Samaya, like that. That's what one senior devotee told me. Yeah. So generally, whenever Krishna also talks in Bhagavata about the Vedas, he talks 3-3 only.
Jaimini, he's one of the parampara. Is he the same Jaimini of Karma Mimamsa philosophy?
Not necessarily. Is it true? No, I think we discussed that. See, from 4 mouths of Brahma, all the 4 Vedic mantras came. They were like together, like a gold mine. Right, so we asked them, kind of separated them. 4 are there, but 3 are referred. Right, Navrabhu? So we asked them, did not divide them in. In the beginning. Chapters of Bhagavatam also, this comes, that Vyasadeva divided one Veda into 4. Is it that he is referring to the recent incident or much before? Very. Because within one manmantra there are so many chaturvikas.
Brother, we have put it down in writing only 5,000 years ago. But prior to that it was not in writing. Even I was amazed to see Chaturvika Goswami remembering all these names. And that two branches who became this.
Questions? You need not repeat the chat. Don't worry.
One question like that. As we know, I just read that Vyasadeva segregated means made all these four Vedas. So I was just thinking like, means one thing that we have Bhagavatam, like we see the confrontations going on in Bhagavatam, lots of confrontations we showed, but they are speaking. We see the 335 chapters are there. Who gave the name of chapter? Divide the chapter. This is the first chapter, the second chapter.
I heard from one senior devotee that Vyasadeva did it with the assistance of many disciples. Disciples put them together. No, not the Vedas, Bhagavatam chapters.
Chapters. Chapters.
We're saying chapters of Bhagavatam. Disciples together compiled.
Bhagavad Gita also comes chapters, and CC also comes chapters. So chapter wise.
We divided into sections. Chapters.
And we divided into sections. But chapter wise, who made the first chapter, second chapter? Something like same episode coming, but same conversation continuous flows, but just with chapter divided, next chapter start.
Yeah. I don't know. I heard that Vyasadeva's disciples have done that by Purvishnu. Over universe who has done it, I can say, but. But not the.
First question 20 marks. Only one question is there. And in this answer, write that bullet points from Chakravartibha's first purport. 12.5.1 purport, some points you can write. Uh, 12.6, first question, 10 marks. Third question, 10 marks. Fourth question, 10 marks. Somewhere we have to squeeze marks for 7th chapter. So in the verse quotation is not there. So in 12.6.6, the fourth question, please quote one verse. Quote 12.6.33. Sorry, 34. I'm sorry, 34. Okay.
So 10 topics we will include in the next exam.
Today's. Hardly anything there.
Yeah.